This is an ABC podcast.
The Australian Grains Gene Bank in Horsham houses thousands of seed samples from around the world, keeping them safe for future generations. So what's involved in making sure those seeds remain viable for as long as possible? One of those charged with caring for the seeds is research scientist Dr. Catherine Whitehouse. I had a chat with her about what she does and why it's important.
So I carry out research specifically focusing on improving and optimising the lifespan of the seeds that are stored and optimise the quality management system to ensure that the seeds are available for hundreds of years.
And on that point, just how long can seeds last and remain viable?
Oh, that's a difficult question. Seed longevity or lifespan, it's a complex trait and it differs between species, just basically down to their genetics. But that's only partially what affects seed longevity. Generally, how the seeds are grown, handled and stored, and everything that happens to the seed during its growth and development all impacts its end quality and seed lifespan.
So in an ideal setting, seeds can last hundreds of years?
They can do, yes. There is no reason why they shouldn't if they are at the highest quality when they go into the gene bank. There are some seeds that can't be stored in gene bank storage, though, and that's basically down to their physical properties, that they cannot tolerate being dried down to low enough levels that we require to be stored in the gene bank.
So that is the process to ensure that longevity, that the seeds are dried?
Yes, they need to be dried down to a very low moisture content, between 5 and 7%.
And then if they were to be taken out and grown, what's the process? Are they rehydrated?
They would just be taken out, left to stabilise in room temperature for a few hours, and then you can just plant them as you would a freshly harvested seed.
Catherine, your work has really taken you all around the world, hasn't it?
It has, yes. Especially previously, I was very lucky enough to go and travel to a lot of the international gene banks, which are part of what we call the CGIAR consortium. And it's a global initiative, and it's a collection of gene banks that are set up in regions of crop diversity. And they're dedicated to carrying out research to reduce poverty and increase food security. So I got to travel to some countries like Mexico, Colombia, Ethiopia, Morocco, Nigeria, parts of India. So, yeah, it was a fantastic experience.
Catherine, the big question that we haven't really addressed is, well, we've talked about what you're doing, but we haven't really talked about why you're doing it. Why is it so important to have these seeds stored in gene banks and have them last?
Yeah, sure. Well, we want to ensure that the seeds are available for use in research and ultimately for breeders, in order to develop more resistant and adaptable varieties that are maybe more higher yielding and more sustainable. The issues that we're facing now is, no surprise, is to ensure our food security for the future, which at the moment is being threatened by impacts of climate change and the ever-growing world population. And so the array of seeds and material that we conserve, a lot of it has genetic material that has been lost in our domesticated varieties. And breeders now want to tap into that to try and breed back into new varieties of crops.
And the Australian Grains Gene Bank in Horsham, it's part of a network that includes what I think is known as the Doomsday Vault in Europe?
Absolutely, yes. So part of that initiative is everything that we store in our gene bank here gets duplicated up in Svalbard. And that's basically just insurance policy for us. If ever we lose our material here for whatever reason, we can request it back from Svalbard. That actually happened. The gene bank in Syria, a lot of the material was lost due to war, and the gene bank has now been re-established in parts of Lebanon and Morocco, and they had to request some of their original seed back from Svalbard. So it's actually a fantastic initiative.
So that's, I suppose, a real-world example of why,
yes,
this is so important.
Absolutely.
And Catherine, how do you know when a seed is approaching the end of its life within the gene bank, and then what do you do to replenish that seed?
Well, Well, that's quite difficult. So you need to understand seed longevity and its lifespan, or else we can't predict when it needs to be regenerated. What we can do is different species lose viability in a gene bank at different rates, and it's to do with their sensitivity to changing moisture and temperature, and that's what you call the viability constants, and they're different for each species and it's genetically determined. And we can find these out, and then based on that you can make predictions to see how long they will last. So you could say, for example, that it will take X amount of years for the seed to drop germination to 50%, and so we would regenerate it before it gets to that time.
So to regenerate it, is that a matter of just taking those seeds out and growing them?
Yes, and you regrow them. And generally at the gene bank, we have a cut-off of 85% viability. We try and ensure that our material is regenerated before germination drops below the 85%.
At the gene bank, are you just maintaining your collection or are you looking to add to it?
Oh, we add to it too. Currently, we get between about 2,000 to 3,000 new lines a year through quarantine. And at the moment, we've just had a new quarantine facility built, so that's expected to double because we'll be able to do two cycles a year now. So, yeah, at the moment, we probably increase by about 3,000 lines a year.